Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. I want to touch on something today that is not exactly economics, but it does have indirect effects on economics, and it has a little bit of effect on foreign policy, but it's a civil rights issue. There was a recent ruling by a federal court a week or so ago that said that women should be punished equally with men. You know, what do you mean punished? Well, the women want equality with men, and they filed a suit, and they said that we think women should be drafted as well. So they want to equalize discrepancies between men and women. Men are punished by registering for the draft, and over the many, many years have been drafted to fight wars. And some of them have been very, very damaging because of a draft. I mean, we had drafts ever since Woodrow Wilson's time. Hundreds of thousands have been killed with a draft. And I even was on the receiving end of a draft notice, you know, in the Vietnam era in 1962, and I was still a resident. So the draft is a real thing. It's an important civil liberties issue. But it was always fascinating to me to think that this twisted understanding of what rights are all about is that it would show fairness to women that they could be only included to be drafted. Well, I could think of another way of making it more equal, you know, between the races, and it should be obvious, and we'll be talking about that. What is the necessity? Do we really need a draft? Do we really even need the registration? We haven't used the draft since early 70s and when the Vietnam War was ending. So what is the purpose of all this? I think the purpose is just to keep people very knowledgeable at who's boss and who owns them, who owns the individual. And I claim the income tax is a determination to show that government owns all our income and gives us permission to keep a certain amount. And the military draft shows that at least the men belong to the government, they will register, and they will be called, and their lives would be exposed to danger, and many of them would lose their life because of this principle. And it's been around a long time. It was debated even in our early history, but it was a 20th century phenomenon, basically. But here it is. It's still there, and the fact that there was a ruling means that attention has been called to this. And when I was in Congress, I always supported and introduced legislation to get rid of the registration. So I think that's the direction we should go in. And Chris, I think the fact that this is in the news right now might give us an opportunity to sort of explain the libertarian position.
Right. And, you know, it's one thing to want to be a soldier. And, you know, maybe in modern America, that's not a good idea. I mean, most countries, they defend their borders, they defend their country, they leave other countries alone. Not America. We're all over the world with 1,000 bases and over 100 nations getting involved in everybody's business. But if you want to be a part of that, that's your decision. But nobody should ever be forced to be a part of that. And like you said, Dr. Paul, that presumes that the government owns you, and you can't get any further away from liberty and the ideas of liberty than that. I mean, if you're under attack or your family's under attack, self-preservation is a part of your nature. You're going to fight back and defend yourself. You don't need anybody to force you to do it. Yes, the idea of conscription for men or women is a terrible idea.
You know, the 13th Amendment stated it very clearly, and in the federal code and in our Constitution, originally there was only three, maybe construed as four laws that should be federal. Well, we have hundreds of thousands of laws now. But one of the laws that is explicit in the Constitution that is illegal, and that is slavery. Slavery and involuntary servitude is not to exist in the United States or in a jurisdiction in the United States that is in the possessions in Guantanamo or any place else, that we're not to enforce involuntary servitude. One exception was unless they were convicted by a court for a crime, and part of the punishment was work. But this is something that is very, very clear. It's in there. It says no involuntary servitude. And so it isn't just the slavery that they were banning you know, with the 13th Amendment. It was also all types of involuntary servitude. And if you look at it, as a matter of fact, it just comes close to this whole idea of the income tax. And it's interesting that the income tax and the slavery issue, the draft issue can be, compared and be the same. The ownership, who owns the life? And that is, that it sets the stage for saying that the government will have total control, and they will control it, because you got to have cannon fodder. You have to have the people to go and be ready. But the one thing that has always encouraged people to work out problems when somebody would make a point is they tinker with the law, and lo and behold, the one thing that you can't have is a universal draft. Because there's too many people. You just can't draft millions and millions of people. So you always have to discriminate. And originally, the discrimination was culturally accepted. That, well, it's, it seems sensible that men have been the fighters and they can do this. And so they discriminated in the sense that women don't have to. But there's a lot of exemptions in the draft. You know, where it's age and size and ability and physical health and all these kind of things. So it's very discriminatory, and they're always picking. So there's no way you can have universal, equal, enforcement of the draft. And this is something that is unachievable. And the only thing you can think about to make things more equal or work toward a direction is just get rid of the registration of the draft and having a draft, because that is what we had with our Constitution. It's not in the Constitution that we can draft people. And there's now an explicit prohibition against involuntary servitude. And if you stop and think, of all the things that we might consider as involuntary servitude, I end up with a pretty long list, because there's a lot of people not put in prison, but they're having involuntary servitude through the plunder of one group of people orchestrated through our government. And I don't know why that can't be considered, involuntary servitude too, especially if you have to give up your half or more of what you earn. You are in servitude to others. The amount of money that is required there is an awful lot, and I think it's a major problem. It has encouraged people to fight wars with draftees. So this issue and this ruling, I think, is very important, but it should be only important to call attention to it and find out where the American people stand on this, and why have we tolerated it for so long.
Right. I'd like to tie in another woman's issue to this. And as someone personally, I'm against abortion, but I'm very familiar with the pro-abortion side. And they say very passionately that it's my body and government cannot interfere with any decisions that I make with my body. Well, military conscription definitely interferes with your body. It takes your body, throws a gun in it, ships you somewhere around the world, you don't know where you're going, and then they may order you to go kill a stranger. So, and it's always afterwards that you find out maybe that was a mistake, whether it's Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, they should have never done it. Well, every single pro-abortion woman should be passionately, just as passionate, against the draft, because that's government taking your body and forcing you to do what you most likely do not want to do with it.
You know, I think that's a very important point, and it still is pretty amazing that the feminist movement are the ones who have argued from the very beginning that they seem to be slighted because they're not being punished by being victimized by a draft and registration. But, you know, when we debated this in the early 80s, and I was very much involved in the debate because the draft ended in 73, and toward the end of the 70s, there was, restarting the draft. The draft had stopped, too, and the registration stopped, after the Russians, the Soviets went into Afghanistan. So it was a big debate on the House floor for this. And I remember in the debate that I wanted to chastise my conservative friends Europeans, because, boy, they wanted the registration. They want a draft because they're, you know, very much in the side of the warmongers. And I said, why do you people want to register your kids and you don't let the government register your guns? Does that mean you think more of your guns than your kids? They did not respond, and they didn't have an answer for that, but I know it annoyed them a little bit on that.
Right. Dr. Paul, I'll finish by saying that from the standpoint of liberty, war is the number one issue. In my opinion, even more than all the economic arguments that we have, because government, when it's at war, it's government at its worst. That's when it does its worst destruction, not only to people's lives and property, but to liberties. They arbitrarily give themselves powers, and the draft is one of them. And the answer is the ideas of non-aggression, that no one has a right to use force against another. You can defend yourself if somebody decides to use force against you, but you cannot initiate force. And we as individuals have our own foreign policies, if you want to call it that. Another person, you can't go and invade their life and their property. Well, the same should apply to government. Governments should not, if a group of people, be able to just go and destroy property aggressively. And that's what we try to get across, that you should not make that separation, that individuals can't do it, but if the individual puts a badge on, now he can. No, that's wrong, and we're just going to keep going through the same problems over and over until we get it right.
I think that's a good point, because you do one thing that is wrong, and that is the draft and registration, and it causes other problems to develop. Because even early on, there was always people getting out of it. They'd get the law changed so they could be exempt, student exemptions, things like this. But even in the Civil War, when Lincoln instituted the draft and the draft riots occurred, people could just pay. The people who had a little bit of money, here, I'll pay a certain amount of money, and you go and serve for me. And so it invites that kind of exchange. But, you know, the other thing that it did was it created the issue of chicken hawks. And chicken hawks, I think most people maybe still remember the emphasis on that. And that just means that an individual, would do anything he could to avoid it. Sometimes they got 5 deferrals, student referrals, to stay in school forever and manipulate it until they can get out of the draft age. And this happened frequently. And there was a rather well-known vice president that was pretty good at it when he was in school, and that was Dick Cheney. And during the campaigns that he was in, they asked him, why did you do that? And why didn't you go? He says, I had better things to do. And that is so arrogant. Here he turns out to be the most aggressive neocon warmonger, and he could not be exposed to it. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a principled stand and not taking and not being drafted and resist the war. But to resist it, get out of it, and then become the warmonger, it's pretty bad. In opposite to Dick Cheney, back in that period of time, we had Cassius Clay, the boxing champion of the world. And he was drafted, and he had some very sharp comments that he had nothing against those Vietnamese, and there was no reason why he was going to go over there and start shooting them. Rather astute thinking on his part. He was convicted and lost his title. He sacrificed a whole lot to stand up for that principle. I've always said that the greatest battle that that Muhammad Ali ever won was the fact that he stood up to the draft and took a beating on this. But in many ways, I think he came out victorious on that because he stood up for the right principle. But right now, today, not many people are thinking about the draft because there hasn't been a draft. I think about it because it solidifies the thought that the government owns us. And Chris made a very good point about this, about now the government will own a woman's body and tell her what she can do with it. And it's It's such a horrible, horrible situation where a government can do this. But economically speaking, they can do it as well. I think there are so many things going on involuntary servitude, the plundering that goes on, the taking care of one group versus the other, the confiscation of income through the income tax, all these things there. Now we have a bit of this enslavement with the people who can dictate political correctness. How in the world they ever got so much power that you say things and you will grovel and apologize and lose your job and all these things. And it has to do with just language. But there's a gang that runs this, and they're very, very powerful. I don't know how they ever gained this. All I can think of, it must be that the people, you know, let their guard down. And if any one thing that I think Trump deserves some credit for, he didn't buy into that. He didn't let people do that to him. He has his faults and all his problems, and we've talked about his foreign policy, but he didn't put up with that kind of nonsense. And yet there's people enslaved by this. So it is the whole issue of liberty, that we have a right to our life, we have a right to our liberty, we have a right to pursue our happiness any way we want. Any way we want, economically and socially, as long as we don't hurt people. That answers so many questions. In the draft, it would be no, there should be no compulsions, but there should be no prohibitions. So if somebody wants to serve their country and serve the military and defend the country, and Chris pointed out the point, well, sometimes you go into the military and we're not defending our country. We're getting involved in other things. Well, then, if you don't believe we're doing the right policy, then I don't think people should volunteer and go into the military. But it is an important issue. It demonstrates very clearly ownership of one's life. And I think that if we concentrate on that, we might come down on the right side of liberty, both economically, socially, and on foreign policy. That it is our life to lead. It's our life to deal with it. It's our life to take risk with what we do. It's our life to be rewarded according to our abilities. And that government can never be used by force, whether it's the draft or some other type of intimidation or using it in any type of coercive activity like the draft. So I think this is a good opportunity to think that and get people to think about, let's just get rid of it. Tell your congressman, tell your senator, get rid of it. This is ridiculous. We don't want to be a victim. And we certainly don't think we should accept the idea that things will be better if we can only draft the women and force them into warfare. That's ridiculous. So I think we need a debate on this. I think we need pressure on the Congress. It's time to end the military registration and forever end the military draft. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.